to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I know, and you know, that's talking about Calvary. But there's a direct application. If the church will make much of Christ, sinners will come to Jesus and get born again. That's just the way it is. If people are getting saved, listen to this. This is deeper than it at first sounds. If people aren't getting saved, then it's because the church is not explaining Jesus Christ. Real simple. If people would see Christ, they would get saved. It's a wonder to me that anyone, listen, everybody look up here. You don't need to be reading your Bible right now. It's a wonder to me that anyone would remain unsaved if they just understood who Christ was. That's the bottom line. And you know why people aren't getting saved? Like they ought to be getting saved? Because the church is doing everything else except exalting Christ. Because Christians are not explaining what kind of fool would it take not to take eternal life when it's all paid for, when Jesus paid all the price for our sin, and all I got to do is surrender. All I got to do is humble myself a little bit and surrender, repent of my sin, and receive the love gift of salvation. What kind of fool would not get born again? But here's what's happening: a lot of people aren't hearing that message. They're hearing something else. They're hearing about religion. They're hearing about Jesus plus something. Because of carnality, they're hearing about standards. Or I'm not saying any of those things aren't true. They are. But we need to make much of Christ. That's what the world needs to hear. Now, Christians need to hear the whole counsel of the Word of God. We need to hear about standards. We need to hear about loving our brethren. We need to hear about gossip. We need to hear about being filled with the Spirit. But the unsaved, that's not the message they need. They need to hear about Jesus. So with all of the other ministries going on here at Fundamental Baptist Church, the overall truth, we as a congregation, as a body of Christ, we as a New Testament local church need to exalt Christ. We need to lift him up. When people go by on M80, they need to look at Fundamental Baptist Church and be reminded about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Man, it's a powerful thing, and it's being lost. It's like we're so close to the woods, we don't see the trees. There's so much movement in Christianity that isn't evangelistic. And really, from Genesis to Revelation, it's about reaching sinners. It's about reaching sinners. That's the closest thing to the heart of God. Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save that which is lost. That's good Bible doctrine. We need all of the Word of God, but the overall, we cannot lose sight of this. If we do, we're making a mistake. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, I know you're here in Romans. We'll come right back to it. 1 Timothy in chapter 1. Verses 9 through along about verse 15. Verse 9 says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Before I start in this message this morning, and it's going to be quick if I ever get to it, it's going to be real quick. I wanted to emphasize this. I want to read this, and I want to emphasize something and read just a couple of more verses here. Listen to me. If you're a young man and you're called to preach, don't you shrivel and become president of the United States. If you're called to preach, man, you have a calling on your life that is the greatest work on this earth. And that's to reach souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, how will that happen? By being faithful. Paul here says, he enabled me. God enabled me. You see, he's in that list of the condemned, but he's saved by grace. Saved by the gospel of grace, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and because I was faithful, God enabled me and put me into the ministry. I was thinking on this week, and we cannot stop emphasizing the call of God on the lives of our young people and our adults. We cannot get to the place where we're surrendering to the will of God for their life becomes secondary to making money or getting money or getting things. That's a mistake. That is a mistake, and that is right from the pit of hell. Mom and dad, man, exalt Jesus. You know why I surrendered to preach? Because I wanted what those preachers had as far as joy. I remember the very week it took place where I finally surrendered. I looked around and saw the joy of the Lord in the lives of so many pastors. I said, man, I'm missing out on this. And I finally surrendered. If you'll be faithful, God will enable you. Verse 13, who was before, Paul talking about himself, a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul said, it's all about evangelism. It's all about winning the lost. I know we need to disciple people. I know we need to mentor people. I know we need to teach the whole counsel of God. But you can't disciple them until they get saved. Someone's got to be leading them to Christ. And what has happened? I've seen this happen in ministries where they get top heavy and everybody's got a teaching ministry and nobody's winning anybody to Christ. And we're out of the will of God if that ever happens. So we got to stay evangelistic. Take your Bibles now and turn back to Romans in chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. Here's why we need to make much of Jesus. Nobody knows what's going to happen in Syria. Israel is surrounded by millions of people that want them driven into the sea. The Middle East is a powder keg. Palestinians, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Russia, the bear from the north, is now flexing her muscles like we were told she would do in the Bible. Immorality in America is at an all-time low. The homosexual activists have captured some of our own Congress and Supreme Court and the White House. I got to say this. Everything that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah is right now America. Right now. And Jesus said, that's the way it's going to be when I come. So it's going to be just like that just before I come. Perilous times are coming. Men will be lovers of themselves and not lovers of God. Man, look around. Look around. I know so many Christians that really, by their lifestyle, could not care less about Christ. Everything comes before God. Jesus first, if something else doesn't get in the way. But it doesn't matter what it is. If it gets in the way, Jesus second. And Jesus third. We need today to let the world know that Jesus Christ is still the answer. It's never going to change. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans chapter 1, let's get there now. Romans chapter 1, this is going to happen quickly. So, boy, you just stay with me and we'll try to make this as clear as I possibly can. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Separated unto the gospel of God. What was the apostle Paul's life about? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's his whole life. He said to the Corinthians, I thank God that I baptized none of you. But he won many of them to Christ. He was separated. He was set apart. His whole life was the gospel of God. The source of the good news is God. We need to understand that. It's not a man-made religion. It is not a man-made gospel. It is not a human gospel. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians. Galatians in chapter 1. The six chapters in Galatians, we could I could get lost in it here this morning. We just taught through it in Sunday school, but I'm not going to do that. Galatians in chapter 1. You're familiar with verses 6, 7, and 8. I'll summarize some of it. The Apostle Paul said, I cannot believe that you've so quickly left the gospel. Listen to this, teenager. You can get out in the world and get your eyes off Christ, and before you turn around three times, you'll have left the gospel. You'll have left the truth. You'll have turned your back on God. I don't care if you're 55 years old. You get out in the world, you get your eyes off Christ, you turn around twice, and you'll have left the gospel, even though you yourself are born again. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel, which is not another gospel, but a perverted gospel, a twisted gospel. Paul says three times here, if anybody preaches another gospel other than the gospel of Christ, anathema, let him be cursed. That's not a human gospel. It comes from God, directly from God. I'm looking for the verse. I'm not seeing it here right now. We're in chapter 1. Let me just look here real quick. I don't have it. I'll come to it here maybe in just a moment. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. Maybe that's it. No, 12. 12. For I neither received it of man. This is the gospel. He said, I didn't receive the gospel of Christ of man. Neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I got this gospel directly from Jesus. This is not a human gospel. If it was a human gospel, there'd be step one, give some money. Step two, give this. Step three, do that. And that's not what it is. It's not a human gospel. It's a gospel directly from God. The source of the gospel is Jesus Christ. If we are going to make much of Jesus, if we are going to lift high the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are going, the gospel does not change. What we need to do is exalt Christ, put Jesus first in our lives and the places that we work and the places that we go to school and the places that we play. Put Jesus Christ first, make much of Christ, and sinners will come to Christ. Just find a way. Find a way to exalt God. Quit exalting yourself for a change. Amen. Quit lifting yourself up and putting yourself on the pedestal. And lift up Jesus Christ, and sinners will come to Christ. It really is that simple. Look at verse 2. Which he had promised afore, this gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Scripture. Solus scriptus. Bible alone. The support for the gospel is the very word of God. No denomination has to support the gospel. No group of men or hierarchy of a religious order has to somehow hold up the gospel and support it. The scripture does it all by itself. The scripture, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God endureth forever. Take 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter very quickly. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, not a gospel of man. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount, and have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know what supports the gospel of Jesus Christ? The very word of God, the very scriptures that we have in our hands. 400 times it says in the Bible, it's the gospel of grace. It's the way of the cross. It's only Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Make much of Christ. Sir, we would see Jesus. It's about exalting Christ. It's about lifting him high. The source of this gospel message is God himself. The support for this gospel message is the very scriptures that we hold in our hand. Now, that's the best part. Go back to Romans in chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. I'm kind of building towards this. Romans in chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. The substance of the gospel. The embodiment of the gospel is the very Son of God. You take Jesus out of the Bible, we've got nothing. You take Christ out of our lives, we're hopeless. We have nothing. He is the very embodiment of the gospel. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It says here in verse 3, concerning his Son, the scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the very embodiment of the gospel. He shed his blood for our sin. That's Old Testament. Man, that's good stuff. Our sins are washed away. That's called the blood atonement. He dismissed his spirit. He died there on Mount Calvary like every Old Testament lamb died that was brought to the altar. Except he didn't stay dead. This is what separates Christ from all the other religions of the world. He conquered the grave. That's the resurrection. He rose from the dead. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen, teenager. Listen, adult. Listen, ma'am. Listen, mister. Listen, you got to understand this. Jesus is our whole life. And if all you have is religion at Fundamental Baptist Church, you got nothing. And that's why you don't understand the joy of God. You're all enamored with the world and you're going over and you're living over here when Jesus Christ is he's the hope. He's the resurrection. And because he is, man, he is the embodiment of the gospel. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians. Colossians in chapter, I believe it's chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 8 through 10. Worldly people imagine the Christian life as dull and boring. They don't understand. It's a life of thrills. It's a life of peace. It's a life of great love, agape love that can only come from God. Not some erotic love here in this world that isn't love. It's just flesh. They don't understand what the Christian life is all about. But when you get truly born again, you have Christ. He is the very gospel. That's why we adore him so. That's why the songwriter said, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Amen. He's the sweetest name I know. The lily of the valley. Bright and morning star. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior we worship. Colossians chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Paul is writing here to Christians. He's saying, don't get messed up in the world. Don't let somebody deceitfully spoil you, deceitfully use you by way of worldliness. By the way, if you think serving God isn't the best life in the world, and you are truly born again, if you are truly born again. But if you're truly born again and you think Jesus and Christianity is boring, you are extremely backslidden and will be under the chastising hand of God. Or you aren't even saved. It's one of the two. It says in verse 9, for in him, that's in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why we call it a Trinity. In Jesus dwelleth the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, bodily. Right there in the person of Jesus Christ. And ye are complete in him. We are, ye, that's Christians, are complete only in Christ. Don't go running after the world. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring permanence. It doesn't bring security. In Christ, in him, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's number one. He's the absolute God. That's why Christians are told to seek first the kingdom of God. Because in Christ, we have everything. He is my all in all. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's everything I need. He gives me all of my provisions. Every good gift cometh down from above. It comes directly from his hand. The world and the devil want to mess you up. And sometimes other backslidden Christians want to mess you up. Jesus is the Godhead bodily. He is the very substance of the gospel. I'm telling you this. I'll say it one more time. I've tried to say it a couple different ways, maybe not real well, but he's everything. And every day that Jesus Christ lived on this earth, 33 years, was a wonderment in holiness. The perfect Son of God. He walked among men. And he never sinned. Never gave in to temptation. And then that perfect life went to Mount Calvary for me. Who has failed him again and again and again. Oh, I love Jesus. He's the substance of the gospel. Let's go back to Romans again. Look at verse 5. You got to get a vision. Here's what the carnal Christian never understands. The worldly Christian never understands this. They get saved, and there are a lot of them out there, and we all fit this size one time or another. They get saved, we get out here, we're born again, we know we're going to heaven, and then let the world go to hell. I got things to do. And we drift farther and farther from God. God has left you here on this earth for a reason. It's his good pleasure. It's to fulfill his will. Why did he come to this earth? To seek and to save that which is lost. Get a vision of what needs to be done in this world. Of what needs to be done in our county. What needs to be done in our Jerusalem. Get a vision of what God is wanting to do. And what he is willing to do. Verse 5 says, but whom we have received, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name's sake. It said that Paul left a New Testament church in every major city of Western Europe. He was separated under the gospel. That's what he was all about. You need to get a vision. Maybe you've lost your vision. Maybe you're just kind of drifting. Don't do that. There's too much at stake. There's too many in your world, in your circle of friends that don't know Jesus. And if they knew him, they would get saved. You say, well, how are they going to know him? That's why God left you here. That's why you have the friends you have. That's why you know the people and work with the people you work with. Get a vision of what God wants to do and how he wants to use you. Say, how's it going to get done? I'm almost done. Let's look here at Romans one more time. Book of Romans in chapter 1. Pick up reading with verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was led hitherto, or was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Then he says about this world that he lives in. He says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. See, man, Paul owed everybody money. That's not what that says. You know what he owed? Jesus Christ. He owed the gospel to the Jew, to the Greek, to the barbarian, to the Gentile, to the simple, to the wise, to the ignorant. He owed them the gospel. He took it personal. Verse 15, so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, I'm about through here, and I don't want to miss the mark. I'm afraid there might be a teenager here that's just kind of going over their head. There might be somebody in their 20s or 60s here, and they're just kind of accepting what I'm saying and not understanding that Jesus Christ is the answer. That Jesus Christ is our only hope. With the economy, with the world, the chaos that it's in, with the perversion, with the immorality, with the destruction that is going on all around us. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the only answer. He's our only hope. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He's saying, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And I'm ready to preach the gospel to those that are at Rome also. I'm ready to preach the gospel to anybody. Because I know it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Your friends want to get saved. A lot of them, if they knew truly who Christ was, they'd get saved. They say, well, they're messed up in their thinking. That's where you need to preach. That's where you need to persuade. That's a Bible word, persuade. That's where you need to reach out. That's where you need to explain. Teach. If they knew my Jesus and what a great God he is, they would get saved. And if you were honest, you'd say the same thing. Where did they get these wrong ideas? Well, the devil, the flesh, maybe you. Tell them of Jesus, who's still in the business of saving sinners. Amen. Washing the slate clean. And making new creations. That's the power of the gospel. That's the Jesus that I know. We're not called of God to debate or vote on the gospel. It's God's. We're to present it. We're to live it, that which it becometh the gospel. Paul said that to the Philippians. If Tim Rader lives the way he's supposed to live and talks the way he's supposed to talk, people are going to want my Savior. But if Tim Rader lives in the flesh, takes on the lingo of the world, never shows the joy of God, turns into a bitter gossip, no one's ever going to come to Christ. The world needs Jesus.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.